Radio.
Welcome. We Stay Wednesday.
How you doing, Val?
I'm doing great. How are you, Cannabis Kid?
Doing good.
I was just waiting for the timing of our music, but we're just right on in it right now. Which means we should just bust on in to We Stay Wednesday. You know what? We've got some listeners out in the Midwest. Minnesota's in the Midwest, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, hello to our Minnesota listeners tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
And everyone that's listening. We've been receiving some really great emails. Mel has. You can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and click on the Ask Bell if you want to ask any questions, make any comments, or recommend anybody for our shows. We are always open for recommendations. Cannabis Kid, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Weed Stay Wednesday?
Well, tonight we will have strain reviews, product reviews, news, and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
Absolutely. It's a large world.
You can call us at 646-915-8421 or email or blog your questions to have them aired weekly.
Yeah.
We'll figure out. Send any questions that you might have for me, too. I don't know.
Cannabis Kid loves. He asks a hard question, so.
Yeah.
You guys, really. This guy's got a brain, like, well, our guest will find out.
Yeah.
We've got a, did you get down to the rest of that? We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center.
Yes. Thank you, Tumbleweed.
Yeah, for hosting the special show tonight, along with certifications at Tumbleweed Health Center. And right now, winter special, $95 certifications. You will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things education related to medical cannabis, tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And there are some great folks in town we would like to give shout-outs to right now, some comms. We have a grower's house. If you or anybody you know loves to grow, you need to check these guys out. Grower's House at growershouse.com. That's easy if you're sitting near your computer right now. Growershouse.com. Or if you live in Tucson, go to 227 East Valencia. Go around the back there. Pollinate Father Some Team. They're awesome. Great whole group of specialists that know about growing and lighting and
everything, soil,
room building, ventilation, experienced growers, and they can help you in all your growing endeavors. And whether or not you're in Tucson, you should get your meds tested.
Mm-hmm. At AZ Med Testing, the great guys up in Phoenix.
AZMedTest.com. Hello to Brenda and Steve and company. AZ MedTest offers medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. And we're hoping that the dispensaries are going to use AZ MedTesting for testing.
Yes.
They won't find aliens there, because if anyone finds them, we're going to find them.
Yep.
We're going to chat
AZ
with them.
MedTest.
That's right. AZMedTest.com. Also, awesome patient guide and just an incredible information guide. If you want anything informational about medical marijuana, check out this real little patient guide. It's great. Mary Jane Survival Guide. Medical marijuana patient guide for anyone seeking MMJ information in the state of Arizona and the world at large. They have recipes, pictures, articles, places you can find, classes, lectures, demonstrations like Tumbleweed.
You have a nice little journal in the back,
yep.
So you can start doing your little strain reviews.
Some pictures of some nice strains. MJSurvival.com. And let's see what time is it. Oh, my gosh. 8:04. Goodness gracious. It goes
time
fast.
Flies,
we were just writing
fun.
A little format. I know, it does. Mm-hmm. We have a really cool interview tonight. Before we get to that, we have, a lot of great news, and we're going to hope to get to that. This interview is going to be so fun. It could go extendedly.
Michael Bowman.
Yeah, Michael Bowman. This guy is just a plethora of information.
He's a fifth generation native of Colorado from northeastern.
The ag community
ag
there.
Community.
Agriculture community.
In Ray, Colorado. So I know that he is planning to start his first crop
of hemp.
Of hemp on April 30th of.
And we'll let him tell us why that date is so special.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone out there that wants to say hello on the line or has questions for us or Mr. Bowman, please type in, blog in, call in. We'll put you on air. You can chat with him directly. So looks like we might have him online here. We have a bio, Michael's, it's a brief bio that Cannabis Kids started to read that you can find on tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Just go to the radio link and scroll down. There's a picture with Mr. Bowman and Mr. Nelson, Mr. Willie Nelson. Did you see that kid on the website?
Him in a picture of hugging up.
Yeah, that's a cute
Willie.
One. Yep. We'll have to chat with him about why he's hanging out with Mr. Willie Nelson. But let's see if we can get Mr. Michael on air now. We're going to try and unmute him. So we're going to go jump right into our interview, and let's see if this works. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, you're live on the air.
Thank you.
How are you?
I am wonderful. Welcome from Colorado.
Oh, awesome. Oh, my gosh. What an exciting place to be right now.
Yes, it is. It's a great state right now. Always has been, but it's just getting better.
Oh, yeah. We were there a little while ago in Manitou Springs and Colorado Springs. What gorgeous area. Holy Toledo.
It gives a new to Rocky Mountain High, doesn't it?
Oh.
Yes, it does. John Denver nailed it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we know
my
what
goodness.
You're talking about.
Hey, smart guy. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Excellent. Well, we've been doing a little research, and we have a million questions. We'll see how far we can get. What's going on? Who are you? How do you get to this cannabis world of ours over here?
Well, it's been a long journey for me. I spent most of my adult life on our family farming operation, tending to business and growing crops and growing kids. And about 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to participate in a ballot initiative in Colorado to put renewable energy, a renewable energy requirement into our state constitution. And so I took what I thought was going to be a six-month sabbatical from the farm with the agreement of my dad and brother and went to get this ballot initiative passed, and it was a real David and Goliath story. We were massively outspent by the coal companies, and at the end of the day, we won. And it was just kind of kind of one of those rushes, when you win a David and Goliath story, and that's always a great thing. So it gave me the bug to get into public policy and start figuring out places where we could start moving the needle, look at from our energy and our food perspective and sustainability. And so I'd had an opportunity during the years on the farm to spend some time in Africa with Alan Savory on a grasslands project, and had gotten had always been very committed to sustainability of land. And so this was just a natural migration. We started when you start get in this space and you start looking at all the opportunities to fix our problems and create jobs and create new opportunities, and particularly in rural America where I'm from. One thing begets another, and so it's just a hemp and energy and food and sustainability and organics and all of that has just been a really key part of my existence the last decade.
Excellent, that's awesome to hear. I think you just answered about 20 of our questions. We'll go in depth.
Okay, drill, baby, drill.
Awesome.
So, Michael, where do you see Colorado going now with the legalization with cannabis?
The next step is the legislature, according to the ballot, they actually have until July of next year, of 2014, to put things in place. But I don't think that's the way it's going to play out. The governor wants this done this session. And I think they'll tackle both the marijuana framework, legal framework, and the industrial hemp all in this session. We should be the easiest part of that. There's a great framework to follow already with industrial hemp production using Canada's model. So I don't really expect that there's going to be much consternation on the fight over what our structure needs to look like there. I think it'll be pretty simple. Devil's always in the details, and that'll be the marijuana side of the ballot will be the most. We'll have the most details to it. So we'll take we'll be in the back seat on this one for a while while they get that resolved and hammered out. But I think there's some natural alliances between both sides of this both sides of the regulatory framework. That, and it, there are some things we're going to have to work on together.
Right.
So, you know, we'll our session starts 11th of January, and it'll end, you know, we'll end up in being finished up in May. So
wow.
Sometime in that time frame, we'll have, you know, we should have a set of regulations and start moving ahead.
Now, do you think these regulations are going to spread across the states?
Well, they will be a state. They will be statewide regulations because the, you know, our ballot initiative was a constitutional amendment, unlike Washington's, which was just a statute. Ours is now in our constitution, so it will be. You know, these will be statewide regulations. Now we're a home rule state, so you know, as we see, there'll be some. You know, as counties and locales decide they want to. You know, create a little. They can create a more stringent structure locally. They can't do something more lax.
Okay.
So I expect there'll be a few communities that that push back on this. We're a pretty diverse state, and I expect that there will be some places that will want to make it as difficult as possible. But that's, you know, that's life. There'll be plenty of places where it won't be where there won't be pushback.
Yeah. That's true. Well, there are already lots of states are already moving ahead, you know, with the progression. So we've got Washington,
yeah.
Colorado moving ahead with legalization. That's just amazing, actually.
Absolutely. And I think in the next 2 years, you know, I think in the next election cycle, and I think this is going to be a snowball. Once we, you know, we have our regulations in place and if it goes, you know, nothing's ever, you know, without problems, but you know, our medical—we've dealt with the medical marijuana side of this, and it's gone, you know, relatively smooth. You always have good players and bad players, and that happens in any industry. I don't care whether, you know, what it is. So, you know, that's happened, but it's gone, I think, relatively, you know, relatively problem free. And if the rest of this goes, you know, kind of plays out in the same manner, yeah, this won't be a big deal.
Well, and we're hoping it goes smoothly. You know, it's the last thing we wanted to see the patients lose out and what they really need is the medicine.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. That's so true. And it's, you know, and as we all know, this is the way prohibition ended. It started at the state level and then, you know, built a firewall and eventually the feds had to address it. So, you know, we've been through this before. It's just been with alcohol and not marijuana.
Right.
How long do you see before all the states have this, like, ended, like alcohol prohibition was?
Well, you know, there's sort of a standard, kind of a standard rule. It actually plays out, interestingly enough, that most good ideas take, you know, up to 7 years to really go from an idea to kind of full implementation. I think we'll see a flush of early adopters. And then you know, I think you'll have kind of a steep curve on the front end where it'll be you know, disproportionately more people to begin with. But you know, as you probably know, you know, even in the red state of Arkansas, you know, the medical marijuana question only lost by, you know, 48-52. You know, in these states where there's more of a libertarian bent really than a red bent, and we saw this in Colorado. Even in the very conservative Colorado Springs area, where you would have expected, you know, the evangelical community that's very strong there and you know, very Republican centric politics, even down there, the amendment was strong. So this seems to be something that I think it's like giving permission to the first person to say what needs to be said, and then everybody can follow along and say me too. I think having Colorado and Washington do what they've, you know, accomplished what they have is now giving everybody else permission to say what they wanted to say and that didn't want to be the first one to do it.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, what states do you think are going to give the most challenge to this legalization process?
I would guess the biggest challenges would be the southeastern states. You know, the very, very, you know, I just gave, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself what I just said with what happened in Arkansas, but I would guess that, I mean, just generally speaking, you know, I think that southeastern region may be the holdouts.
And how do we go about changing their minds?
Well, I think it'll be changed by as they sit here and as they stand by and watch, you know, state after state implement this and start creating the revenue streams and start, you know, solving some real core problems that every state has, whether it be incarceration rates or the cost of prisons and the cost of, you know, the cost of the human cost that goes along with that, and start watching that paradigm, you know, shift be put on its head. You know, at some point it becomes about economics. It's like in Doug's book, you know, this is at some point it becomes about economics. And,
right.
You know, in these very budget constrained times we live in, it's going to be hard for any state or region to just, you know, carte blanche dismiss what's going on
right.
across the country.
Exactly. That leads to another question.
hey, Michael. I was wondering, how is hemp grown compared to cannabis?
I'm sorry, you cut out just a little bit. Could you ask the question again?
How is hemp grown compared to cannabis?
Well, hemp is, you know, it's planted and it's tilled and planted much like a canola crop or a small seed crop. So, you know, with a drill and, you know, very very high populations, whereas cannabis is, you know, kind of very carefully trimmed, more like a, how would I say, more like rose bushes you see in a garden, as opposed to just your standard wildflower mix where there's really no pattern to the planting.
So it makes it more industrial, meaning right. like in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's it's planted just like a, you know, just like any other crop, any other small grains crop. And then harvested as such too.
We hear you're getting ready to grow some hemp yourself.
Yeah. How many acres do you have planned?
We are. Well, we have 100 acres carved out for this next year, and very, you know, really excited about showcasing the crop. You know, playing the role of MythBuster and you know, these kinds of things take, you know, they take somebody that's willing to take a little risk. I don't particularly see this as a very risky venture. You know, the world grows this crop, and so we often, you know, get a response from folks as if this is a brand new crop that, you know, the seeds fell from the moon, and we wouldn't know, you know, how do you do this, and when in fact it's been, you know, grown for centuries and all over the world, and we're just happen to be the ones not quite smart enough to figure out what's good for
us. Exactly. Well, so here's one of my questions. For those who want to be educated more about this, we won't call them that, not that smart.
Mm-hmm.
how does hemp help the U.S.? How does hemp help us, you know?
Well, there's about 25,000 products that can be made from hemp. And if you go back in history, things that we use, many things that we use today that are made from fossil-based, petroleum-based products can almost all exclusively be replaced with hemp. If my brother, for instance, bales a lot of alfalfa, he uses a polyesterine twine, you know, made from kind of a nasty, very strong, but a nasty a product that, you know, that the cattle and if it was ground, the cattle ate it, it would cause a problem in their digestive tract, and that could be replaced with jute and rope, or, you know, rope-like product. You know, clothing. I really got started on hemp, and the whole issue of why I got so passionate about it was studying the cotton industry in India. And what was happening over there with the GMO cottons and the alarmingly high rate of suicides by the farmers over who had gotten into that system of GMO cotton that needed a lot of chemicals. Globally, the cotton crop consumes about 40% of all herbicides and pesticides in the world as a single crop. And
wow,
hemp, you know, is an environmentally benign alternative to that, and that's exactly why it was that long. You know, with the help of the DuPont family, was they didn't want hemp competing with nylon and synthetic products that were coming from petroleum-based products, nor cotton, nor Randolph-Hearst forests. So, that's how we got to this system today of being so dependent upon, so many products that either have to have a chemical that is generally petroleum-based, fertilizers that are petroleum-based, and so now there is an alternative to all that.
Well, and the people need to be aware of the alternative, and which is, I think, part of the problem. They're not being even allowed to be aware of it. They're being told it's so harmful and wrong and evil.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, this really is just an education campaign. That's really really about that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people knew both sides of this equation, what was good about hemp and what was bad about what we do today, and you end up with an educated consumer, they'll make the right they'll make the right choices. And it clearly is just we have to get the word out. And you do this by demonstration. You start growing a crop, and then you find a way to start manufacturing it into a showcase product that you can put in one hand and show, the petroleum-based products in another, and say, look, this was made right here. Didn't require any fossil fuel, any petroleum products. This is good for the environment and good for our farmers.
So then why aren't we all growing? Silly question.
I'm the back end of a cold, so I apologize. I couldn't get my mute button soon enough.
Sorry. So why aren't we all growing this now then? What's the deal?
Because it's illegal. What happened was that you have to go back to about 1937 when Hearst and DuPont and Rockefeller wanted hemp to be basically eradicated as a plant, as a crop, so that it wouldn't compete against our products. Rockefeller had just discovered oil, large amounts of oil, so he didn't want hemp creating, the competing biofuels that could come from hemp. Hearst had tens of thousands of acres of forests, and he wanted to be able to sell that to the paper industry. And DuPont had just discovered synthetics and nylon, and he didn't want, the hemp cloth to. So they were all friends with Mr. Mellon of Mellon Banks, who was the banker for all three of those. And Mr. Mellon's grandnephew, Harold Anslinger, happened to be in the government and able to institute a tax on the crop. And they effectively they got rid of the crop by taxing it.
Wow.
And, That it was a backroom deal in 1937. And they relaxed the tax for a short period of time during World War II. The Navy couldn't get enough cannabis out of the Philippines. The Japanese fleet had boarded off any shipments out of there, and so our Navy was running out of rope and things they needed that were cannabis related. So they actually had it for a short period of time during World War II, encouraged farmers to grow it, and lifted the tax and then put it back on as soon as the war was over. And then it stayed that way, and basically they decimated the industry once again by doing that. And it stayed in that state until 1970 when under the Controlled Substances Act, when they classified both marijuana and industrial hemp as class one substances. It was never the intent of Congress, but there was no growers group, there was no lobbying group to defend it because they decimated the industry by that point.
Wow.
So it's been treated the same as marijuana under Schedule One, since 1970. So you have all this institutional bias against it, and everybody looks at it from the federal perspective. Everybody looks at it as the same thing when it's the exact opposite of marijuana from a plant property. With that institutional bias and the way that it's been treated for years. It's just ingrained in the general population that it's a bad thing. I mean, it must be bad because
great.
It's illegal.
Yep.
Yeah,
even with education that's out there, people think so negatively about it, they won't open their minds to it. Some people are that way anyway. It's really sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Michael, with the future of cannabis going the way that it's going, what areas of hemp do you see helping out our community, society, and culture?
I'm sorry. Let me step out. I have to ask you to repeat the question again. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop. Right. Could you ask it one more time? Thanks.
Yeah. No. With the future of cannabis going the way that it's going, what are the areas of hemp do you see helping our community, society, and culture?
I think you're asked the question of if we grow hemp under irrigated conditions.
Right. That was.
Well, in the specific case of agriculture and irrigation, I'll tackle that one first. That was another reason why I stepped into this. My family farms in eastern Colorado over the Ogallala Aquifer, and we irrigate out of that, as do tens of thousands of other farmers across 11 states. And we typically grow, you know, corn and alfalfa, and we have some rotational crops, pretty water-intensive crops. And we need to start looking for alternatives that require less water that are still going to maintain the economic viability of the farms. And hemp, you know, you go through the checklist, and there's very few things that do that. And certainly hemp comes out of the top of the list is like the number one alternative to do that. And so the nice thing about hemp is it responds to water. If you have a lot of water and want to use it, you can, but it's also very drought tolerant. And it will work in limited conditions as well. So we're gonna have a chance this year to kind of test out both applications, both a regular irrigated schedule and a very limited irrigation schedule. We need to gather data, you know, as part of what we're doing this year to give us some idea about what is the best, you know, where, you know, what's the best response to water, you know, what's going to be our best alternative. And you know, compare it to the numbers. So they're just, you know, what we have to deal with, right, with data from other countries, which isn't, you know, these aren't foreign environments. So you can deduce a lot from what's going on in Canada and places that are, you know, very similar, you know, environments during the growing season. So we probably know 80% of what we need to know anyway, but we need to find out the last 20%.
We're going to grow it here in the States?
I'm sorry?
You're going to grow it here in the States?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to and the 100 acres that we're going to grow this year will be here in Colorado.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
So because Colorado passed legalization for medical cannabis, that includes hemp?
Yes, that includes hemp. That's the story that wasn't told during the initiative, not that it wasn't a secret. If you understood, you know, the legal language and read the ballot itself, you know that a person would have known, or a person who was looking for it. But yes, the Amendment 64 passage not only decriminalized marijuana, but it legalized the cultivation of hemp at the same time.
Wow.
So with the same constitutional amendment.
Shazam. That's super.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
No, we knew that there was a – what was the reason for doing it on April 30th?
I'm sorry, I'm having a really hard time hearing you. It may be me, but I'm dying to get exhausted again.
April 30th being the special day, why was April 30th?
Okay. Well, I have had the pleasure and honor of being a friend of Willie and Annie Nelson, and it started out our friendship with Annie. Annie and I served as both founding board members and current board members of the Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance, which we started in 2005. And so over the years, as we've been working on a number of biodiesel projects, and as you know, Willie is a great advocate of not only hemp and its cultivation, but biodiesel as well. So we end up getting to spend some special time with Willie and Annie as a group, and so his 80th birthday is April 30th this year, and he was, you know, he watched the Colorado initiative with keen interest, and this has always been a hope of his that someday that, you know, hemp would be legalized so we could start growing it in the United States. And so as a birthday gift to him, we hope that all the stars align and we should be able to
literally
plant the crop on his birthday.
That's awesome. Happy birthday to Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Willie does he use the biodiesel in his bus, right?
Yes. He does. He runs biodiesel on his bus, and it's very his cars. They have a and his personal cars as well on the ranch and trucks. All use biodiesel as well, so he's very committed to it.
Wow!
For some of the viewers or listeners out there, can you talk a little bit about the biodiesel and where it's going with some of that?
Yeah, sorry. Go ask the question one more time. I'm sorry again. It could be my signal, but
I have a quick hemp question for you. So with all the hemp that you're going to grow coming up here, what I know you're going to be testing it for various things, but what are you going to do with your end product? Are you going to make clothes, use it for fuel? What are you going to do with all of that? Can you sell it?
Well,
only sell it in Colorado, or?
Our challenge is going to be, you know, given some unknowns in the law, we're going to have to keep the product in state because we probably won't be able to transport it out of state. But our goal right now is to we'll take the seed and cold press it, and of course it makes a great food grade oil, and we'll be able to find markets for that here in the state, and that oil can also be turned into biodiesel if need be, and then the stocks we'll chop and bale. And we have some great new emerging technologies here in Colorado that can turn agricultural waste into syndiesel. You know, we can gasify it, make some fuel, and what we have left is biochar that we can take back to the soil. So that's our goal right now. We'll pick a couple of things we can do with the with the product, and not get it too complicated, and do what we can do inside the state.
That's going to create a lot of jobs.
Yes, it will. Now, that's our goal. And you know, create the jobs in rural America where we need them.
Yeah.
We need them everywhere, but we certainly need them in rural America as well.
We do. I'm sorry, cannabis kid had a question.
Now, Michael, do you know anything about hemp.com?
I'm sorry, which.com?
Hemp.
Hemp.com? I do not.
Okay. I was just wondering, it was going to come up while looking at the hemp pages. So I was wondering to know if you had any more information on that.
I don't. This is such an infant industry right now, given the lack of ability to grow. That I think we'll see a lot of players emerge now over the next 2-3 years, and it'll mature like any industry will. We'll have to have growers alliances, just like you'd have a state corn growers alliance or beef alliance or anything like that. We'll have cannabis growers.
Well, what organizations do you promote, support? We know you're hanging out with Willie, and who else do you support out there? Do you wear an all hemp clothes product line?
As much as I can, whenever we can find, any hemp product, whether it be clothing or soap or hand lotion, it's it's a very niche industry right now, but one that's going to grow rapidly.
Yeah, it sure is. Are there organizations you want to give a shout out to? Is there somewhere? Do you have a website that you want to let people know where they can find this information?
Yes, there's some great information here on a website in Colorado called the New Hemp Ag Economy.com. And there's some great stories there on the history of hemp and some updates on what's going on in Colorado. So you can check there. And if you just, anybody who's interested in this, if you just Google industrial hemp, there's thousands of articles and, some great backgrounds. On the history of the plant and what's going on across the country. And I think, as you see this, build an industry, there'll be, more and more places to go to.
Oh, absolutely. hemp is one of the things that people are often misled. They don't understand, like when they come to Tumbleweeds for cannabis or marijuana, however you want to say it.
Right.
Hemp is one thing that they ask, in particular, the difference between and how it's grown and what its uses are. So it's good to hear that, you're promoting the education of that, because a lot of people don't understand why we even need it. And, you know, there's a movie out there that you can actually see it, Tumbleweeds, but I'm sure you can get it online. It's called Hemp for Victory.
Yes, yes.
That's a great little, it's only like 15 minutes. It's a great little historical documentary on how our government petitioned the farm.
Right, and that was the one that was produced by our Department of Agriculture during that period of time when they relaxed the tax during the war.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then supposedly the film was never made, or, you know, so, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a great little film. Maybe we're looking at Hemp for Victory, too.
Yeah, economic victory this time.
yeah, exactly, because it will.
Yeah.
I mean, hemp, just as a fiber, lasts so much longer than cotton. Am I correct in that? I mean, just
that
even
is correct. It is the
clothing.
Strongest, most durable fiber known to man.
Yeah.
And I hear they're using it for plastics and makes a harder...
it makes an indestructible plastic, yeah.
Yeah.
They can.
Yeah, so, you know, there's great composites that are strong, you know, it's lighter and stronger than steel. And there's a man who just built the first hemp house in Asheville, North Carolina, with hempcrete.
Wow, hempcrete, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great alternative to cement, you know, very green, green alternative. And
you think, Ford should go back to building cars with hemp plastic again.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there'll be a day. We'll all see the day when that is a reality.
Yeah, and I don't think that's too far off either. You know, more and more people are open to it. It's interesting when we went out to the street fair this weekend and did a little rally for cannabis and hemp, and we were really surprised as we passed flyers out how many people were more open to it than not. Like, we expected a lot of opposition, and we got the opposite from that. People were happy and wanted to know information and wanted to talk about legalization and about the process that's what's going on with the different states and the raids.
How it's happening so close to them. And
yeah.
So.
America's really interested, and I think America as a whole is really for a change now.
And they're
looking
for the knowledge now, I think. They're wanting to know what hemp is doing. They want to know what hemp and cannabis is doing for people and what it's doing for the economy and how it's going to help out, you know?
Absolutely. And anybody who has the time to read Doug Fine's book, Too High to Fail, a great book and a good read on that exact issue.
Yeah, Doug's great. He's a good friend of ours, and he's got a great book that just came out. Yeah, Too High to Fail. You should all get that. In fact, there's a copy at Tumbleweeds you can check out or buy. Well, Cannabis Kid, do you have any further questions?
He answered all mine. Thank you, Michael, so much.
Well, I'm happy to, anytime. This is going to be an exciting time for the industry and for all of us. We look forward to what's going to happen in Colorado and help this broaden the discussion and the acceptance of the industry. And hopefully we'll have Arizona in that pack before long.
Yeah, absolutely. The more we talk about it, the more people, get educated and accept it and understand it. I think that's the, challenge we have is helping people understand what really it is and how it can help. Yeah. Thank you.
I was wondering, do you think you're going to have a lot of people wandering over to your property and seeing what it looks like, and you're going to, have educational stuff out there for them, or?
I imagine that'll happen. The looky-loos. We'll have to figure out how to deal with that, but I imagine that definitely will happen.
You need a little stand with Lucy out there.
Yeah, a little loose information out there.
5 cents,
yeah.
Lucy.
A
little peanut
character. A nickel.
Yeah,
or
for your brochure,
It's just talking on a recorded device.
That's great.
Well, awesome. Good luck out there.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Best of luck with that. To tell Willie we say happy birthday and happy hemp day. And
we'll be able to have him on right after that.
Yeah, we'll get you guys.
That'd be great. We'll try to work that out.
Cool. Right, thank you. Have a great night. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hemp for Victory.
pretty amazing stuff that's going on
out here.
That's
really amazing, and I can't believe that. Just in a few short months here, we're going to grow hemp in our country.
Yep.
Again.
The first one.
Again.
In a very, what was it? We're looking at how many years ago?
Oh.
That it was first.
Well, they stopped, 37. Yeah.
Yes.
70. It was 72. We got a 72 out there. Do I hear a 73? Long time ago.
Yeah.
They stopped, started, stopped. It's going to start again. And Mr. Willie Nelson and Mr. Michael Bowman get to do some planting.
Industrial hemp.
Yeah, industrial hemp.
If you want to look what's going on with that.
Check it out, because it's very different from cannabis. And there's a great poster here at Tumbleweeds Health Center. If you come inside for your certification or your meducation, when you register, there's a poster on the wall, and there's, you know, Michael Bowman said there's 25,000 uses. I think we've got about 15 or 20 up there, but it diagrams various things from food products to clothing to
fuel. Yeah, I would love anyone out there that's interested in looking up hemp.com. It's got quite a lot of information.
Well, and we forgot to ask Michael to send it, you know, if he has any information that he wants us to have here at Tumbleweeds on display about hemp. We're always looking for great things to hand out to people.
Mm-hmm.
But what great information, you know. Wow, biodiesel. That's great. Willie's tour buses are running on hemp.
Well, and
hemp fuel,
there's so much different things that hemp is, they're working with hemp these days. It's an alternative to the omega-3 fish oil.
Yes.
So they're saying that it's actually better. And, you know, with fish coming from the sea, you know, and our sea being polluted.
Yeah, and contaminated. Yep,
contaminated,
absolutely.
That this might be
a
different
way
to go.
That's a very good thought. Yeah.
So.
Well, and you know what? Like we always say, at least it's another option that you should have.
Right.
Everyone should have that option.
Everyone should have options.
They can choose it or not. It's up to them. Not really for us to tell you what to do, just to maybe give you the menu, the options to pick from. That was awesome. We have, actually, we could do one of a couple things. We could read Hempathy earlier, we could wait, or we could do a little news. Now, there's very exciting news in the state of Arizona. You know that.
Yeah.
We all know that.
First two
dispensaries opened up, one in Glendale and one in Tucson.
Right.
The first one opened up here just Tuesday, yesterday, Holy Toledo. I'm sure most people in Tucson that have been watching the news have seen that because it's been on every hour. But we've got a little news article here. I don't think I printed it out for you, but I'll read a little. It says medical marijuana cardholders can fill prescriptions in Tucson starting today. Yesterday. medical marijuana patients in Tucson are finally able to fill their prescriptions at Southern Arizona Integrated Therapies, the area's first dispensary located near Broadway and Cold. A steady flow of people coming in and out of the East Side dispensary signaled a milestone for an effort to bring legalized medical marijuana to Arizona nearly 3 years ago. John Colon is a cancer patient, one of thousands of people in Southern Arizona who are turning to medical marijuana to help ease the pain. I'm in pain in my back, my lower back, my arms, my knees, my legs. He told News 4 Tucson after booking an appointment with the dispensary. Inside, it looks real professional, real clean. They've got a doctor, security guard, and you can't go in without an ID, he said. Inside, one patient showed News 4 Tucson the orange prescription bottles with the medical marijuana inside. That gets it in a little brown bag or a little paper bag marked as a prescription item. John Gettle, who made his appointment today, said it was an exciting day as he showed up to check out the pot shop for himself. Patients are able to come and get a safe, secure supply of medicine for their serious conditions, he said. However, Gettle said the top shelf marijuana on display runs about $500 an ounce, and with prices that steep, he's concerned that patients might turn away. I worry they won't be able to keep the prices low enough for patients to afford, he said, but that won't stop him from John Colon, as he looks forward to picking up his prescription and feeling better. So he says he's got an appointment for next week, and he'll go from there. And so far, they are booked up through, well, as one patient came here for a certification. They said they're booked up through mid-January already. Holy Toledo. And I'm sure as the days go by, they'll be booked up quicker and quicker. You can look up their Southern Arizona Integrative Therapies. You can look online. I don't know if they have a website per se. They must. I read something about their rules and guidelines. I think you can even fill out their application online. But they only accept 4 patients an hour. So you get 15 minutes. I think this procedure, you go in, chat with their doctor or medical director. I'm not sure exactly whom. Discuss your ailments. They give you your medicine. And you leave. So it's a very sterile, clean, kind of in-and-out operation. Not near what the dispensaries are in California, that's for sure. I'm not sure how they're going to handle edibles and things like that. But good job for Arizona.
I want to know about the tincture thing coming back.
Well, yeah, and we'll see if they have them. And if so, how are they able to have them? And, mm-hmm. and what guidelines are they following?
We're allowing people to not now they have to smoke it or eat it. They can't just... Take it in a simple, you know, liquid form.
Unless they grow it themselves and use it right away.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, because the whole question is the state's challenge, we believe, with that is what, from our understanding, is that the state doesn't know what's in these tinctures. Like,
right.
You know, but does the state know what the plant's grown with
right.
either? I mean,
exactly.
If it's not tested and... We, you know, we're hoping that
everyone here in Tucson,
all the dispensaries test, you know.
Yeah.
There was a dispensary called Organics up in Glendale that opened. And we read one of the Leafly reviews, and it wasn't very favorable. Said it was kind of it wasn't as big of a deal as everybody made it out to be. The meds weren't, you know, really, they were good, but they weren't any better than the Compassion Clubs, I guess, up there in Phoenix,
right.
And the prices were worse. And
well, I mean, we also have to think about it. What were people getting before this was all going on, you know?
Well, I'm sure people were still growing.
Right.
Still growing good stuff,
yeah.
And people were still getting the MERSH, quote-unquote.
Right.
And
whatever it was called then.
Whatever it's still called now.
Exactly.
Yeah, swag, whatever you have your term for it, you know.
Do you know what former president said it was okay? To legalize medical cannabis?
Do I know which one?
You know which
of
one?
All of them? There was only one that said it?
Well, it's right now.
Did Obama say it?
Obama said it? Jimmy
Obama.
Carter.
Oh. Huh.
Jimmy Carter. I'm in favor for it. I think it's okay, Carter said at the forum, which was taped on Friday. I don't think it's going to happen in Georgia yet, but I think we can watch and see what happens in the states of Washington, for instance, around Seattle, and let American government and let the American people see that it's not a serious problem. So
he predicted that.
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting. I want to know, speaking of Washington, if their state, if they wrote into their legalization law, if they can grow hemp as well. Because they could.
Well, you heard what Michael Bowman said. He said that when that, the legalization of that, because
right.
it was done at the same time, allows the it to be legal all the way around.
Across
the board.
Right.
For both hemp and cannabis.
Excellent. Well, we have a very fun segment of our show. Speaking of hemp, this is a great night, all about hemp. We've been wanting to have somebody on our show to talk just about this. We read Hempathy, Food for Thought. Why don't you flip that over and read the little explanation on the back of the book. You can get this book. It's called Y-Dash.
It says Hempathy.
What's the website?
www.y-whynot.net.
Yeah, check that out.
So Hempathy, Food for Thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distance between what is socially and legally accepted, why, and what's forbidden, why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about cannabis, excerpts its beneficiary effects. We need to publicize their findings in unbiased ways to the world need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a user. This information is meant to be shared.
That's right. Mike should read this to his kids or grandkids.
I think we need to let Mr. Bowman know about this. I don't know.
I know. I don't know.
Ask him about
that. Yeah, we didn't, but he'll check it out.
Yeah.
Empathy.
Empathy. Food for thought.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So right now, I'm looking at
Dirty Nasty Pawn Shop.
Dirty Nasty Pawn Shop.
Sorry.
Well,
bitter.
It's actually a gun shop.
Yeah.
The right to bear arms. No, wait. The right to bear arms. In the United States, in 2006, more than 30,000 people were killed by guns, including 16,883 suicides, 12,791 homicides, 642 accidents, and 360 fatal shootings by police. The number of non-fatal injuries exceeded 200,000. Annual domestic firearm industry sales are estimated at more than $4.1 billion, which includes $1.21 billion for handguns, $1.35 billion for long guns, and $1.55 billion for ammunition. U.S. gun owners bought over 14 million guns in 2009, more than 21 of the world's standing army combined.
Wow. Oh, we could revolt. That's a lot of guns.
That's a lot of guns.
That's a lot of guns. Now, why in the world does that need to happen? That's not a pretty picture either. You've got a really nasty, fat, ugly, dirty, gross gun owner sitting with a cigarette in his mouth, and he's got some freaky customer with red eyes and a gun tattoo. He's wearing his cut-off Daisy Dukes.
Well, it's
pistols on both sides. AK-47. He's just playing. He's going to go out and shoot something for fun.
Who knows?
That's not okay.
Who knows what he's
going to
do?
Yeah. Oh, 20% off today. That's
you
not
got
okay.
A good picture on your side, though.
This is a beautiful
reminds
picture.
Reminds me of kind of what Tucson's looking like these days.
Oh, my gosh. More happy people.
More happy people.
Get your appointments, folks.
$95 winter special.
Yep. Get certified. Yeah, we love that. Come to Tumbleweed to get your green card for
$5
through January, winter special.
$150 state fee.
Always.
And $35 processing fee.
Yeah.
Makes it about
$280. It's a great
come
deal.
Come on down.
Come check it out. Why not? This picture is beautiful. Opposite side. You've got, this is great. The wallpaper is pot leaves. You've got a giant peace flag in the background with a nice little happy hippie smiling. He's got some clones on the wall. There's some seedlings. There's grandma standing in line with a cane. Her hair's wrapped up. You know, it's purple. Her hair's purple, of course. She just came from beauty school.
Perfect.
Yeah, blue hair. Her thumbs up. She's liking it. She's pointing to some clones, I think, there. And there's a little strain table and a seed display. They've got some hydroponic juice up there on the shelf. Everyone's happy. This is a good day at this little shop. Looks like Tumbleweeds. it says, why not? The right to medicinal cannabis. Cannabis was listed in the United States Pharmacopoeia from 1850 until 1942 and was prescribed for various conditions, including labor pain, nausea, and rheumatism. See, it was prescribed for a very long time, from 1850. And who knows how much longer they used it even before then. I mean, that's just...
Imagine what it tastes like back then.
Oh, my goodness. What? Inquiring minds want to know. Does anyone have any of that in a jar? 1850. Well, that was nice in 1850. or before. Nearly all medicines have potentially lethal effects, but not marijuana. There's no documentation in the extensive medical literature of a confirmed cannabis-induced fatality. Not one, folks. Okay, let's repeat that for everyone who just freaked out about that.
No one died from smoking cannabis.
Thank you. Thank you. No deaths from pot. Gosh, we should look up on the Cancer Society right now how many deaths from cigarettes there are right now. Like, at the end of this year, 8 million? 10 million?
What was the question?
Yeah, how many? Anyway, deaths from cigarettes. Okay. So, there's no documentation in the extensive medical literature of a confirmed cannabis-induced death. This is a remarkable statement. The record on marijuana encompasses 5,000 years of human experience with cannabis. That's huge.
That's a lot.
Remarkable. That is a remarkable statement. 5,000 years plus of human experience and use, consumption. Not one death. And did we figure that? Did we find that figure out how many? It's millions. Anyway, it's sad.
It's high up there.
But you should check this book out, www.why-whynot.net. It's an awesome book. This is the second time we're reading through it for all those just checking in here, tuning in here to Weed Day Wednesday. Why not? Next week, we've got topics about secrecy and dialogue and conversation and actually having some with the folks around you. It's not such a bad thing, right?
Right.
Right. Just plant people.
Relax.
Smoke a bowl.
Smoke a bowl.
All right. Eat a brownie. Juice. And you know what we found out about juicing? Dr. Courtney says, I love spitting out these facts, your body can consume 60 times the amount of medicine from cannabis, juicing it, than you can from smoking it.
Right.
So that's a great thing.
So 60 juicing
times
with the whole plant.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
I actually have been juicing with the whole plant for quite a long time. Well, not the bud, just the leaves.
Just the leaves.
Just the leaves right now, which is, there's no... euphoric feeling with the leaves.
You get it when you heat it.
But
right.
What you actually get from the plant, it's a nice little boost of chlorophyll.
Well, and I heard you get like a warm, fuzzy from the inside out kind of feeling. So it's not like you're high per se, but you just feel really good. It's internally high.
No.
Yeah, it's more of that body high.
Relaxation. Really nice.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? I think we should ask a trivia question.
You should.
For anybody coming into Tumbleweeds Health Center mm-hmm. this weekend, we're going to ask a trivia question while we wrap things up here. Let's see what we got here. Some tunes here. We're going to wrap things up. We want to let you know before we ask the question. Tumbleweeds Health Center is having a 420 Festival of Education 10 days before Willie's birthday. Saturday, April 20th, time to be determined. It's going to be fantastic, much like their anniversary celebration, which was awesome. Vendors, demonstrations, artists, lectures.
But times more.
Times a million.
Yeah
it's going to be awesome. And
more
Tumbleweeds,
vendors.
Yeah. Tumbleweeds is having $95 certifications through January, folks. Happy winter. That is awesome. And Cannabis Kid, would you like to draw a trivia question? If you're out there in Tucson or in Arizona, come to Tumbleweeds Health Center. If you're a patient, bring your card, your valid, current ID card, and your green card. Don't get an easy one. We asked a hard question. And we're going to ask you a hard question now. If you can answer the first patient to come to Tumbleweeds to answer this. Gets a joint.
This is a good one.
Give away a good one.
What popular coffee shop in Amsterdam is named after a type of dog?
Okay, ask that again. Okay, here we go. Trivia question. This is a hard one.
What popular coffee shop in Amsterdam is named after a type of dog?
Okay. Don't give me the answer. I want to look at it, but...
Let me see it.
I'm going to cheat on there just mentally.
I think it'll be a good one.
All right.
The other
one
was how many grams
here.
Are in a
pound. I just put it up to the mic.
Pound.
Are there any mentalists out there? What do you call those?
Psychics.
Can you see that through my microphone? once again, thank you, Growers House. You guys rock. 227 East Valencia, mm-hmm. growershouse.com. AZMedTest.com. You guys are awesome for making sure we have clean, safe, awesome medication.
No aliens.
Well, we'll get with them later. And MJSurvival.com.
No guys, no guide you should be leave home without.
Yeah.
Mary Jane Survival Guide.
MJSurvival.com. We have a quiet tech guy here we like to say thanks that we'll give a quiet shout out to. No names mentioned. And in closing, we would like to thank Michael Bowman for sharing all his knowledge. Well, part of it. I know that's not all of it. This guy is just a plethora of information. We'll have to have him on again.
Good luck up there, Michael.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's
thank
awesome.
You so much for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for hosting our ever-dependable show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Grower South, AZ Med Testing, MJ Survival Guide, Tumbleweed Sales Center.
And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.